Hey, truth be told, this is Tony Sweet and Captain Ron at the 50th Symposium of MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, here in Irvine, California. And guess what? We have the executive director of MUFON, I think since 2011,
2013,
with Jan Harzan. I was going to say Harzan, but that's not it. Harzan, like Tarzan. I could do the Caribou Net one, but I won't do it. So, thank you for being on again. I was telling people that you were one of my first interviews with Truth Be Told almost 6 years ago, and which also really inspired me to take this to a different level. And so I want to thank you for that, because it brought what MUFON does for people. I think it brings out the truth of many people, because they want to tell their stories, but so many people think they're crazy, or just making stuff up, or drunk.
They think they're alone. Yeah, they think this isn't happening. This is just happening to me. And the fact is, it's happening to millions of people all over the earth.
Right. And you know, this is the 50th year since MUFON started. Right. Over 120,000 cases reported. So tell us your story about. In the years that you've been here, because there was a lot of years before you, but tell us the story of, since you've been a part of this, what has changed in you, and how's your views are with when it comes to UFOs and extraterrestrials?
Sure. Well, so for me, it started as a 10-year-old boy when I actually witnessed a craft with my brother, 30 feet from us, hovering 10 feet off the ground with landing gear on it. It was making a humming noise. This was about 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday. Sun was already up, so it was a daylight sighting. The craft was shiny metal, perfectly smooth, had landing gear on it, corrugated landing gear on it, crossbars. And we were looking at this craft thinking, oh my gosh, these things are real, because we had an interest in UFOs at the time. In fact, we were trying to build one. That's another part of the story. But so looking at this craft, it just struck me, this technology is amazing. In fact, I first thought maybe it was our technology, because on the crossbars, on the scissoring function for the landing gear, was a bolt, and I thought, wow, that looks like something we built. But as I studied the craft, it was perfectly smooth. It was like a piece of blown metal, like a blown glass. And we didn't have that technology back in 1965. So to be able to bend metal that way without having rivets or seams in it. Didn't have any windows or doors either. And so I thought to myself, how do they get in and out of this thing? You know, I do believe there are people in it. Because there had been some things the week before with my brother, had seen some very short people in his room. So anyway, I mean, that's like a real reality changer for you. You're 10 years old, you're looking at this craft, it's not supposed to be there, and you're saying, holy heck, right? So for me, it inspired me to go figure out how it worked, because I thought, boy, if we had this technology, think how advanced we'd be as a civilization. For my brother, it had the opposite effect. He went upside down, got into drugs and alcohol, and had a difficult life. But he's actually here at the symposium. He's doing well. He recovered, and he is actually integrating this into his life. So he's trying to find answers to himself, like what happened to this thing? Why was this thing here? So over the years, I just thought nobody talked about it, because I went to school on Monday morning, and I asked my best friend, Tom. I said, you won't believe what happened to me on Saturday. And I told him the whole story, and he's staring at me. And I stopped to let him talk, and he says, do you want to go play baseball? And I thought, did you just hear what I told you? This incredible thing was in my backyard. It went right over the top of him. So at that moment, I said, thought to myself, okay, people can't absorb this. They can't believe it. It's not, like, don't talk about it, right? So for 20 years, I didn't talk about it, And then I went to a session one day. It was a seminar I was taking. And on the wall, they had a sign that said, what is it you know that you're pretending not to know? I thought, that's a really weird thing to put on a wall. And the next day I came in the seminar, and it was bigger type. What is it you know that you're pretending not to know? I thought, that's really strange. Came in the third day of the seminar, and it was huge letters. What is it you know that you're pretending not to know? And then they did an exercise called Lifeboat, where the 50 people in the room are on a cruise ship, and you're supposed to decide that the ship hit an iceberg and it's going down. There's only room on the raft for 10 people, so figure out who the 10 people are going to live, right? Well, I didn't make it on the life raft. So I'm in the ocean dying. They're simulating death, and the lights are down. And I'm thinking, well, it's okay, because I know there's something more. I saw this craft. And then it struck me. Well, that's what I know that I'm pretending not to know, right? And so at that moment, I made the decision, if I had this experience, I should be talking about it. And I started to do that. So I found a group called MUFON, and I became actively involved as a member first, and then later as a field investigator. And then I took over a section, a state section for Orange County, California. And I began just sharing things. And then more people came forward with their own stories. So one of the big benefits MUFON provides to the public is allowing them to have a place to come safely share their stories. And then we have a repository where we keep those stories. And I think that helps us all kind of assimilate this, all deal with it. It is a life-changing event. It's one thing to believe in flying saucers and UFOs and aliens. It's another thing when you're standing there talking to one. Right. Or you see the craft right there. It's like, oh, my gosh, it is real. You know, right. So it's a reality changer. And I think that's the big thing. We're going through a huge paradigm shift right now as a civilization. It's bigger than 1561 when Copernicus told the church and everybody the sun was the center of the solar system. And many people died believing that because they were burned at the stake because they were thought to be heretics. And we're going to go through that same transformation bigger now, that we're not alone and there is other life out there. Now, whether it's extraterrestrial or interdimensional or time travelers, I mean, we're still trying to figure all that out. And the answer, maybe it might be all of the above. There's not one answer, perhaps, you know, our universe is much stranger than we could ever imagine. So it's fun to have a place like MUFON. You can come hang out, meet with similar people. We're all in this together. So whether you're MUFON or another group or CSETI or you know, the Paradigm Research Group or whatever you are, I believe that we're all playing our part, including you, Tony, to bring this information out to the public and get us to over this paradigm shift. And it's going to be a big shift because there's still people who don't want to believe it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And out of the 120,000 people in the last 50 years, not all of those, I mean, are UFOs. I mean, right. As in, we believe that are extraterrestrial craft. They could just be unknown craft. Yeah. How do you determine? Because when you get people to come and report this, pictures, videos, how do you determine what is credible or not?
So our investigators, we have a process through our field investigator manual, and it's a kind of 10-step process. But the first thing you do when you get a report in is you read the report, and you try to figure out what information is missing. Mm-hmm. Contact the witness, get that missing information, you know, maybe date, time, place. That's usually there, but maybe it was directional or the altitude it was or the horizon. And you collect as much information as you can. And when you have all the information, then you try to create a hypothesis. So let's just say it was a bright light moving across the sky late at night or something. Okay, so what are the possibilities? Could it be a satellite? Could it be an airplane? Could it be a hot air balloon or we have illuminators now, which have lights inside of balloons that float in the sky. We've got Chinese lanterns, right? So you say, well, here's my possibilities. But then you start saying, well, it was a white light. Okay, well, then it probably wouldn't look like Chinese lantern because they tend to be more orangish or reddish because of the flame. That sounds more like an airliner. But wait a minute, were there landing lights on it? No, there were no landing. We didn't see any blinking lights because every aircraft under the FAA regulations has to have these anti-collision lights and a green light on the right on the right wing and a red light on the right wing. Right. And so if you're not seeing that, unless it's coming at you directly maybe and it's got the landing lights on, that's a possibility, but it's not. So we work through all the possibilities. International Space Station, where was it in the sky? Satellites, where were they in the sky? And if you can't tie it down to the planet Venus is, I mean, people laugh, but the planet Venus is probably one of the most commonly reported UFOs in the world. It's pretty bright in the night sky. You know, Jupiter and Saturn this time of the year are very large, and people think they're the mothership. So we get these kind of reports, right? So but we go through it, and if we can't, I mean, so after we've exhausted every possibility, then it becomes an unknown. Mm-hmm. Now, an unknown doesn't, and it's about 30%. So unknown doesn't mean necessarily that it's extraterrestrial. Unknown just means we can't explain it with what we know. But it could be a secret aircraft, as you mentioned. It could be a drone that someone was flying, or it could be a lot of different things. But what really gets the part is about 1 in 20, about 5% of our cases have extraordinary attitudes about them. And then the unidentified program, TV program, is talking about the five observables, you know, the fact that they hypersonic speed, you know, transmedium travel, going in and out of the water, what else, cloaking. We see these types of things in events. So that's about 5% of the cases. And those are probably the best candidates to be not from Earth. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. Yeah.
But of those 5%, What do you do with that information? Do you just say, okay, that's it's do you just shelve it, or do you actually send out field researchers?
No, what we do with that information is we put it out to the public. So we have cases of interest. We highlight it on our website. We publish it in our journal. If you're a member, you get a copy of the journal. We also put it out for television and different shows, things like that, to have it happen. But I think the main thing is we keep it in the database for research purposes. And I've been talking to a number of physicists and scientists who are trying to figure out how do we get this kind of technology. And by observing how these other craft work, it hopefully gives them some clues that they can use in coming up with their own answers to how we get to faster than light travel.
Right.
Yeah.
What's funny is nowadays, in 2019, the stigma has definitely gotten better. Because we, in fact, because of Ancient Aliens and MUFONs and TV shows and History Channel has put out so much, people are kind of seeing it more and more. And also with now the millennials, their faces are down in their phones all the time.
Right.
Do you see a drop in sightings? Because most people don't even look up anymore. People run into walls and each other out on
well,
the streets.
That's true. That's funny. There's a cartoon with the aliens there coming down, and one alien turns to the other and says, "Don't worry, they won't notice it because everyone's walking around with their phone and they're looking down."
It's true.
But no, we've seen a consistency of about 500 to 1,000 reports over the last 10, 15 years, and it's been very consistent, the reports. What we're seeing a drop in is because I think it's because of better investigative techniques is the number of true unknowns, you know,
right.
Because
that's good.
Yeah, because we're training our people to understand what the different possibilities are. And there's a lot of stuff in our skies that wasn't there 100 years ago.
Right.
I mean, you know, drones, you know, yeah. Balloons and things. So I think it's just getting better. And there is still significant things up there that are not ours.
Right.
Yeah.
And we were speaking with Cheryl earlier about statistics of sightings.
Sure.
And they said LA County is one of the largest sightings, if that's, you know.
It tends to go by the population base.
Right.
But if you do it the other way, per capita, which means per 100,000 people, Arizona and Maine turn out to be the biggest two states. It's
really?
Interesting, yeah. Isn't that fun?
Because I was going to say in Los Angeles, because of the airport.
Right.
And,
oh, yeah.
And you know, helicopters and everything's flying. I could see why many people would probably.
I heard a statistic that like 50% of the air traffic is in Southern California. I don't know if that's true or not, but just we have a lot of stuff in our sky. And,
yeah.
And unfortunately, we have mid-air collisions all
right.
the time up there. But
because we, you know, just driving back at midnight last night,
we were
looked up in the sky and we're like, there's just tons of craft up
right.
there. And you're like.
Yeah.
You know, I could see where people could misunderstand it.
Yeah, if you're looking at LAX and you look out to the east, you know, you see just a string of lights coming at you, right?
It's
all day long, all night long. It's crazy.
All right, so this year is the 50th.
Anniversary, yes.
So actually, this is a very big year. In fact, I turned 50 this year.
Oh, wait.
I know, I in December. And then it was the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
Right.
And then 50th anniversary of MUFON. So it's a pretty significant year. So for new MUFON, what is the next 50 years? What's planned?
I should also mention that it's also the 50th anniversary of the first flight of the 747.
Really?
So yeah, isn't that amazing? I'm not doing probably 30 years from now.
No
one will even know what the 747
right.
was.
Right.
But so what's the next 50 years portend? Well, I see a major paradigm shift happening here based on the New York Times article that was published back in December 16th of 2017. And I've seen a huge transformation among the media. They're fully on board with this. Mm-hmm. They're embracing it. They really want to get the story out. That's positive. People, about 50-50. I mean, some of them are excited. They're excited. Some of them are still like, oh, yeah, show me the alien body. Show me the
right.
thing, and I'll believe it, right? So the public still has a lot of work to do, but we're going through what we call the Kubler-Ross grieving curve, where the first part of that is denial of the
right.
curve, and then it go down the other side to anger because you figure out, oh, this is real. And then you get down to bargaining and depression and then eventually to acceptance. Well, the whole UFO field, the crowd, probably many of the people watching your show, are over on acceptance, right?
Right.
I've been there for 30 years, 40, 50 years, actually 50 years since I saw my craft. So I'm over an acceptance. But a lot of the public has been told, you know, for 70 years now that there's nothing to this, right? I mean, they've been told, oh, no, that Roswell thing, that was a crash test dummy, you know? So they've been buying it, the story. Or they've been holding on to the story because they don't want their paradigm to shift. Well, now it's going to shift in a big way. So helping these people over that curve is an important thing to do. And that's one of the things we at MUFON are trying to do to credibly present the UFO subject to the general public so that they can absorb what's going on here, right? Without scaring them. You don't want to scare them. There's been some issues with threats, that these are threats. Well, if you're the military, your job is to protect your citizenry, and you look at everything as a threat. So I have no problem with people languaging it as a threat. But we know from 50 years of research at MUFON that the vast majority of people who interact with these craft or with the beings themselves have very positive experiences. So we're not seeing it as a threat ourselves.
And we were talking to Kathleen Martin earlier about abduction in her new book. Sure. So I know MUFON may, I don't know when they started, were they mostly solely for reports of sightings, or was it always reporting abductions? And have you seen more of an increase in abduction reports than even sightings?
Interesting question. You know, when we first started out, of course, the Midwest UFO Network then became the Mutual UFO Network as it expanded. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when you get into this whole UFO thing, you start collecting this stuff, this abduction thing comes in, or this mm-hmm. contact thing comes in. That's why we've changed it to experiencer, because some people see it as an abduction, others see it as a contact. So experiences, and we created this ERT, or experiencer research team, for the purpose of let's study this. And what we're seeing now, we actually have people can report it on our website, MUFON.com. You can report your, if you click on report a UFO, we actually give you three options: report a UFO, report an abduction, or report an entity sighting. And you actually click all three if you want. Right. But and then we get a set of questions to you, which we then analyze. And so what Kathleen and her team do is they work with these experiencers who are seeing beings in a room at night, or they're out on a road driving, and all of a sudden, boom, they're having this experience of a being there, or a craft comes down. So I've seen a little uptick in it. It's funny because you had Bud Hopkins and John Mack, who are now deceased, who were talking about this back in the 80s and the 90s. It's not talked about as much anymore, but it's talked about more on the experiencer level. But I think the experiences are happening at the same rate that they were back then, honestly. And the good news is we're actually collecting that data, just like we've collected these 120,000 UFO reports. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to use that data to share with the public so that they can make their own decisions on this thing. And right now the data is very overwhelmingly that it's a positive experience for these folks to have.
And I know you have to get back to your symposium, but I want to know from Washington, there's a lot more people interested in asking for reports and bringing this to the forefront. How does that make MUFON feel when you start hearing Washington asking for more information?
Well, I think it's a positive thing. You know, Lou Elizondo, who ran the Pentagon's ATIP program, Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, for 10 years, is a good friend, and I've spent many times talking with him. I think it's this level of people, and Chris Mellon, who's a former Deputy Secretary of Defense under Clinton and then Bush, these are the kind of people we need in our government, because they have the contacts in the Pentagon. They have the contacts within Congress. They have the contacts within – I don't have those contacts, and most of us don't have those contacts. What we provide is an open door to the public to not only talk to us, but also to share information with. Mm-hmm. So our leadership needs to get on board with this. They need to take it seriously. Whether they perceive it as a threat or not, that's really up to them. But I think we need to fund the research, because if we'll fund the research on this subject, we're going to see tremendous breakthroughs, breakthroughs in energy, breakthroughs in communication, breakthroughs in transportation. And shouldn't that be really what we want to do, is improve life on this planet for everybody? And so that's why I'm involved in MUFON, and that's what I hope to have, and that's why I continue to work hard to make that future happen, you know, for everybody.
And the one big word that goes around a lot in the last few years is disclosure. Do you think in our lifetime, I know we're young pups, but do you think in our lifetime that we will actually have a landing and face-to-face publicly?
Maybe in your lifetime. I'm a little older than you. But the answer is yes. But I think disclosure happened. I think disclosure happened on December 16th, 2017. So disclosures happened. Now what people who don't want to believe, they're waiting for confirmation. They're waiting for NASA to say, we've landed on this planet and we found life, you know, or something of that nature. And, you know, it's just funny because, I mean, it's pretty obvious that with all these planets out there, many of them Earth-like, same conditions, and we know what it takes to create life here on this planet, there's no reason why there shouldn't be other life out there. And then it doesn't even have to be physical life like us. It could be interdimensional life. It could be a whole lot of things, right? I talked about time travelers. I mean, there's the angel and demon theory, you know. But, I mean, it's a lot of stuff out there in our environment, and we're reporting it all as kind of UFO activity. but it's just a lot of different things. So I believe disclosures happened. I think that we will have open contact probably within the next 50 years. That would be my prediction.
So if I live to be
100.
Yeah. Whew, that's pretty old. But I would love to see it, and I know you would too. Well, Jan, thank you so much. The executive director of MUFON, go to MUFON.com. And if you've seen a sighting, abducted, or experienced any type of creature, yeah, please contact them, and I'm sure they'll take care of you.
We'd
well.
Love to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Jan. This is Tony Sweet with Captain Ron for Truth Be Told here at the 50th Symposium for MUFON here in Irvine, California. Take care.